Tech and viability in the abortion debate. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Advances in medical technology have pushed the boundaries of fetal viability, a term for the point at which a fetus can survive outside the womb. When the Supreme Court handed down the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973, doctors could support babies delivered as early as around 28 weeks. Now, it's 22 weeks. The leaked draft opinion that would overturn Roe mentions viability dozens of times. Dr. Rachel Fleischman works in a neonatal intensive care unit, or NICU, at Einstein Medical Center in Philadelphia. She wrote an essay for NBC about viability and what it's like caring for very premature infants. I asked her how it feels when her work is sometimes used in the abortion debate.
It makes me feel like my role as a physician is to educate and empower people with the information and experiences that I see as a physician. But I worry that people who do not share those experiences may co-opt some of what we do to apply it to a discussion that is, in my mind, separate from the discussion that we are having in the NICU as we work with our patients and their parents.
Because the term viability gets thrown around so much in this debate, what do you think people need to know about that word?
It is important to know that just because something is possible, medically speaking, with the application of advanced technology, does not necessarily mean that it is a guarantee of survival, that B, any parent may want the risks of long-term complications for their child in the face of uncertain survival and months of painful intensive care. And neonatal care is inconsistently available. Not every hospital has a NICU at all. And so overgeneralizing from the experiences of one center where things can go remarkably well, to assume that that type of care is available in every hospital around the country is problematic.
What technology, what devices are involved in keeping a baby born that early alive?
They generally all require a breathing tube that's placed into the windpipe and then connected to a machine that can breathe in synchrony with the baby. They're all housed in incubators. Those incubators not only keep the babies warm, they also humidify the air. The skin is very fragile and not very good at holding moisture. And so by moistening the air around them, it helps prevent them from becoming severely dehydrated. So just the nursing care required to do something as basic as changing a diaper for these tiny babies is the thing that impresses me most.
How has the technology changed over time? Like, how much advancement has there been in the last couple of decades?
So I was fortunate to work for a woman named Maria Delavoria Papadopoulos. What she began in the 60s and 70s was placing babies on ventilators. She was among the first to do so. So even just the idea that that could be done was novel back when she was practicing. And over time, we have gotten better at not just supporting the breathing with invasive mechanical ventilators, but supporting babies in more gentle ways with application of devices that get placed on the nose or around the nose to help more gently inflate the lungs and allow babies to do more work of breathing.
What advice would you have for lawmakers faced with the term viability being used throughout this debate?
I want them to know that it's complicated. I want them to know that neonatal care is not black and white, and that there is a lot of technology, a lot of heartache, a lot of exceptional hardworking nursing care, and parental angst that is going on in NICUs. And to take the time to learn about it before they make decisions that may inadvertently impact the way that we in NICUs are doing our jobs to care for our patients and their families.
Dr. Rachel Fleischman at Einstein Medical Center in Philadelphia. And now for some related links. Dr. Fleischman explained some of the efforts involved in taking care of those born at just 22 weeks, both with ventilators and incubators. Her opinion piece for NBC News includes the technical difficulty of keeping those patients alive and the difficult conversations she has with parents. We'll link to her piece on our website, marketplacetech.org. If you're curious about some of the technology that's still being developed in this field, The Washington Post has an article from December which focuses on some of those advances. Think artificial wombs. We'll also link to a 2018 piece from The Atlantic discussing what all this means for understanding viability. It includes insights from a doctor, a developmental biologist, and an ethicist on how technology is shaping how we view personhood and what role viability should even play in the abortion debate. Finally, we'll have a piece from the Associated Press which gets into the risks when infants are born extremely early, citing research showing that when it comes to babies born at 22 weeks, if doctors intervene to try to keep them alive, about 30% lived long enough to be sent home. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.